Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, welcome back after the holidays.
It's been quite a while since we have sat together in this studio to do the weekly show, but you had your vacation and then I had mine. We did some shows before, we prepared some shows before we left, and here we are live, folks. Normally what we do is highlight some of the week's events in the Vatican, because normally there are so many different events to choose from, but this week we could just sit here and do the whole show about the only events really that took place beginning on Sunday, I think, with the Angelus at Castel Gandolfo, which, if any of our listeners have ever been there, they'll know what a wonderful, intimate thing it is. The very small courtyard at the palace, the very beautiful palace, the piazza in front of it in the town of Castel Gandolfo, overlooking the lake, which is in a extinct volcano. Anyway, it's a very wonderful experience. And it's summertime. People go in a much more relaxed, less frenetic mood. But the Pope at that Angelus reflected on the lives of St. Monica and her son, St. Augustine, because, of course, that day, that Sunday and then Monday, were their respective feast days, Sunday Monica, Monday St. Augustine. And the Pope said the two are examples of prayer in the face of difficulties and also as a sign of hope. And I can remember, if I can just interject something here, I can remember my mother, when she would get a little peeved at my brothers, who were perhaps a little more rambunctious than my sister and I were as youngsters, my mother always referred to St. Monica. She talked about St. Monica being the mother of Augustine, and he gave his mother so many problems with his terrible temperament. And she just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And of course, guess what? He was converted. Yeah, he became a priest. He became a bishop. He's one of the most incredible writers. As the Pope said in a reference to her prayers and her difficult son, St. Monica's life can console mothers today who are anguished because their children choose mistaken ways. A very wonderful line.
And can I also just interject? Because any visitors to Rome who have the opportunity to visit Ostia Antica, in wandering around those beautiful ruins, will also find a special plaque there to Monica, because she, of course, lived and died there. And also, part of her gravestone is inside the tiny museum in the Porta San Paolo in the middle of Rome.
Oh, I knew the first part but about Ostia because I'd seen it, but I did not know the second part. So something to add to a tourist agenda or the agenda of someone even who lives here.
Yes, and it has both Monica's name and also Augustine's name on that slab.
You know, interestingly enough, I learned this summer a priest friend from Santa Susanna's church here in Rome was transferred to the United States. He'll be in Austin, Texas. And in doing some research on Austin, he discovered that that is a diminutive of the name Augustine.
Oh, didn't you know that?
I did not know that Austin was.
Which is why in England, centuries and centuries old tradition, is that the Augustinians are also known as the Austin Friars.
Austin, Augustine, referred to a very wonderful man whose conversion was really, really complete. Talk about a turnaround from his, and as the Pope said, Augustine made his mother suffer with his rebellious temperament. However, of course, after his rebellious youth and conversion, which, by the way, took place in Milan under the Bishop St. Ambrose, Augustine opened up to, Pope Benedict said, to the fullness of truth and love, and he eventually became the Bishop of Hippo. So that was Sunday, and then Monday, back at, still, if you will, at Castel Gandolfo, the Holy Father met with the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel. It was a very interesting meeting, scheduled to last about 30 minutes, lasted 40. They discussed, according to Merkel, who spoke to the press afterwards, this is her second meeting with him. She did meet him, though not as Chancellor, in August of 2005 for World Youth Day, and she will meet him in just over a week's time. time when the Pope goes to his homeland for a 6-day visit. But she told reporters that she and the Pope, and it was interesting the word she used, they spoke intensely, she said, about world politics, especially the situation in the Middle East, and also about what the international community is doing with Iran. And then she defined the meeting, of course, as very cordial. She said the two of them also talked about religious freedom and Europe's identity, which the chancellor said she stressed to the Pope that this identity was formed by Christianity. And, of course, as we know, the chancellor, and we know from past years, the Holy See has insisted on including a reference to Europe's Christian roots in the European Union Constitution. And then, by the way, speaking of the European Union, Germany will assume the rotating presidency of the EU next year. Now, I learned something interesting, a little bit of research about the chancellor for this visit. First of all, in her country, there are about 35% of Germans are Catholic. And Merkel, she's a trained physicist. I did not know that. And the daughter of a Protestant pastor, and she was raised in former communist East Germany. So she and the Pope apparently have, how can we say it, hit it off, not just this time, but also last August. And she described the Pope as a thoughtful theologian with a clear stance in a secular world. And she said she was really delighted to be able to visit the Pope at this time. I think another highlight, just going to the news of this week, the little that was made public, on Tuesday, the announcement on Tuesday that Archbishop Angelo Bagnasco, who was the military ordinary for Italy, has been named the new Archbishop of Genoa. Of course, several months ago, that's June, the then Archbishop, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, was named as the new Vatican Secretary of State. So he will take that position in the Vatican on September 15th. And he's replacing retiring Cardinal Angelo Sodano. So the Genovese are getting another Genovese as their archbishop because he's from the area, knows the church well on the Ligurian Riviera. Traditionally, that does bring a cardinal's red hat with it. So we shall be following that kind of event in coming months.
And now with the Holy Father going to Germany next week. Who was St. Boniface?
I'm glad that was brought up because he's really a very interesting man and a very interesting saint. He was the apostle of Germany, born in the year isn't exactly known, about between 673 and 680. And he was a missionary to Germany from 719. He was born, by the way, and educated at a Benedictine monastery in Exeter, England, and became a Benedictine monk there. What he was known for at his time, during his time in Germany, was the fact that he destroyed many idols and many pagan temples and built churches on those sites, Catholic churches on those sites. He reformed churches in his diocese when he was the Bishop of Mainz and then the Archbishop of Mainz. And he built many religious houses as well. He also went to Holland where he did some evangelizing. But however, it was there where he was set upon by a troop of pagans and he and 52 members of his flock were martyred in Holland. But it's very, very interesting because of his efforts at evangelizing, at destroying pagan idols and temples and rebuilding churches on that. There's a couple of fun stories associated with him. One is in Saxony, he encountered a tribe worshiping a Norse deity in the form of a huge oak tree. And Boniface walked up to the tree, removed his shirt, took up an axe, and without a word, he hacked down the absolute entire tree. And so he's now standing on the 6-foot-wide little bit of a trunk that is left. And he stood on it and he said, "How stands your mighty God? My God is stronger than he." Now, as the person who wrote the story said, the crowd's reaction was mixed, but some conversions were begun. I can kind of see both sides of that. And then there's another tradition about St. Boniface, which says he used the customs of the locals to help convert them. In fact, there was a game in which they, this is without specifying which locals, in which they threw sticks called kegels at smaller sticks called Heidis. And Boniface brought religion into the game, and calling the Heidis, saying they represent demons, and knocking them down with the others, which showed purity of spirit. Anyway, he's the patron of brewers, I do not know why, of file cutters, and of several dioceses in Germany, and also of Manitoba, interestingly enough. And he is listed as being the patron of World Youth Day. In kind of getting some information on Boniface, I found a letter that Pope Gregory II wrote to Boniface on November 22nd, 726, answering some questions that Boniface had put to him about the faith and the teaching of the Holy Roman and Apostolic Church. And this is in a missive that was brought by a messenger to Rome. And the Pope answered an absolutely fascinating reading. 726. The questions regarded to what degrees can marriages be solemnized where people believe that they might be related. What would be the degree of consanguinity? What will a man do if his wife is unable through illness to allow him his marital rights? What does one do in the sacred mass? Can one put two or three chalices on the altar? Because our Lord at the Last Supper, of course, only used one. As to foods offered in sacrifice to idols, may a believer eat them, and so forth. Most of those are not questions for us today, but some can be. If a mother, this is fascinating. If a mother or father, this is a question, again, of Boniface. If a mother or father gives a child during its early years to a monastery to be brought up in monastic discipline, is it lawful for that child, after reaching the age of puberty, to leave the cloister and enter into marriage? How does the Pope respond? He says, "This we strictly forbid, for it is an impious thing to allow children who have been offered to God by their parents to follow their baser instincts for pleasure." There's a lot more fascinating reading in that letter. We do not have time today, but at a future time we may even return to St. Boniface. Who knows?
Thank you very much, Joan, and we'll see you next week.
Indeed.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website,